calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Today is the sixth and final sermon in our series about lifestyle stewardship. And today we're going to have as our theme, with these hands we dedicate, with the subtopic, the widow syndrome. Our text, they all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word, and to His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Father, may my cold and my voice not be a hindrance to what you want to say to these people who are bowed before you now. And we pray not for a budget today as we think about it, but we pray about our commitment to Jesus Christ. And may each of us examine our own hearts. And will you teach us and tell us and touch us about what you want us to hear. And Father, I pray that as I share, as a conduit of your message, that a lot of it will just rub off on me. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, today is the sixth in our series on stewardship. We have been reminding ourselves that stewardship is a lot more than just money. And while stewardship includes money, it also includes such things as worship, as we give praise to God. It involves study, where we commit ourselves to learning more about our faith and who and what we are as Christians. It involves service, where we invest something of who and what we are in the lives of others. Money, where we seek to be obedient to the commands of God to tithe. Last Sunday we talked about reconciliation, where we work at not only our relationship to God, but our relationship to each other. So today we're going to have a sort of overview about all of these things. And I want to put it in the context of the poor widow the Bible talks about. In our scripture for this morning, we read about an incident in the life of Jesus when he and his disciples were in the temple at Jerusalem, setting a cross from the offering box where the people of God brought their tithes and their offerings to present to the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament and in the time of Jesus, and it remains true in the New Testament, they had a thing that I call storehouse stewardship. That is, your tithe belongs to the temple, to the church of God. And you'll remember in the Old Testament, God said, bring the tithes to the storehouse, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing on you that you won't be able to receive it. So we believe in storehouse giving, that the tithe belongs to the Lord. And then what you give to other things is giving. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. So here the people are coming to the storehouse, to the temple, and they're making offerings to the Lord. The people who come vary greatly. Some were very wealthy and put in great sums of money. Some had less. But the one person that caught the attention of Jesus especially was a widow. Now let me say a word about how Scripture deals with the concept of widowhood. According to the Bible, God has a special loving concern for widows. And in Exodus we read, "Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do, they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry." In Deuteronomy we read, "He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow." And then when we come to the New Testament, the same theme is picked up, and St. Paul gives us some advice about widows. He writes, "Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need." And you know, we need to be careful in this congregation about looking after and taking care of the many widows that we have in our congregation. That's a biblical injunction. And then Paul goes on to add, "The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help." Over in Luke 2, you'll remember that when Jesus was brought to the temple for the first time by his parents, one of the people who greeted Jesus as an infant was Anna, the widow. She'd been married 7 years when her husband died, and now she was 82 years old and had been a widow all those years. And God permitted her to be one of the first persons to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And then it says that she spoke to all of those who were looking for redemption about Jesus. In the Old Testament, the Greek word for widow denotes someone not only who has lost her husband, but is abandoned and helpless and without a legal protector. Back in those days, the widows had no legal standing. They were totally dependent on someone else for their support. They frequently were not able even to have property. And God had a special care for such persons. As St. Paul puts it, she puts her trust in God. Now, with that background about who this person is who's come to the treasury to make an offering, let's examine our scripture again. This unnamed widow who, because of legal customs and practices of that day, has no protector, no legal standing, who has nothing of her own, is doing exactly what St. Paul says a widow in need does. She puts her trust totally in God. She takes all she has and entrusts it to God. Now let me say that this is the kind of lifestyle stewardship that we've been talking about in the past weeks. Lifestyle stewardship is putting all we have and all we are at God's disposal. And the question I would like to ask you as a Christian this morning is, have you done that? Have you put yourself and everything you have, your talents, your abilities, your resources, have you put everything at God's disposal? You see, we may be playing at Christianity until we make that kind of commitment. I would like to suggest that your commitment to God is suspect. Your commitment to God is suspect if, first of all, you have not committed your money to the Lord. What is there about money? Is it because it represents power and security? Is it because it can bring us the things we want and desire? Is it because we're filled with greed? If a person is a Christian, why wouldn't he want to give a tithe to the Lord as an act of stewardship? Why wouldn't he want to? Can you answer that? If you're not a tither, can you explain to me, or to yourself, or to God, why you don't tithe? There are few, if any, here this morning who can't afford to tithe. And while tithing might require surrendering a few luxuries or a few pleasures, I doubt if many here this morning are financially unable to tithe. So if you're not a tither, why not? Now, I assume that as Bible believers, we all believe the Bible's teaching about tithing. I don't think there's anybody here who's attended Central for very long who seriously doubts the biblical injunction to tithe. So if you don't tithe, let me ask you, why not? And if you don't tithe, I will tell you why not. It is simply because you don't want to. You see, the tithe is an act of the will. To tithe is to make a decision about your finances and about your lifestyle. In effect, God says, will you? And in effect, you say, no, I won't. And that's an act of the will. To tithe or not to tithe is obedience or disobedience. An act of the will. Now, the second thing I want to say is this. If you're not willing to release a tithe of your precious money, it is not very likely that you will totally release any of the rest of your life to Jesus. You see, I don't find many tithers who are not committed in all the areas of their lives. Most people who have made a commitment that involves their money are sort of like the widow. They've given him their all. They have cast all they have and are into the treasury of Jesus. Now, I don't mean to imply that if you tithe, you don't sin. But the fact is, the perfect person who is being a faithful steward of his finances is going to be more faithful in other areas of his life as well. And the reason is, by an act of his will, he has made a decision for Jesus. He's putting everything at the Lord's disposal. And tithing is the best clue to the kind of commitment that a person has. And I discover that if, for example, there's an officer who's not tithing, that I can't count on his total commitment. Because the person who is totally committed is going to be a person who also tithes. I want to share with you this morning three reasons why Sidney and I tithe. I think the pastor ought to give leadership to the congregation and his own stewardship, and I assure you that Sidney and I do that. First, we tithe because we need the reminder that everything we have belongs to God. The first check that we write each month is our tithe. You see, we must not ask ourselves what's our fair share of what we've got. But we must ask, what is God's share of what we have received? Have you asked yourself that question? Have you asked yourself, and has your family sat down and asked itself, what is God's share of what we have? And do you know what God's share is of what you have? It's 100%. That means how you spend everything is a reflection of your financial stewardship to the Lord. It's not just whether you give a tithe, but how do you use the other 90% of your resources? So we need to be careful of how we spend all of our money, and giving 10% of it for the work of Jesus reminds us of that. The second reason that Sidney and I tithe is because, in the light of what I've just said, we recognize that tithing is not the top, but the bottom of giving. Not the top, but the bottom, the floor of giving. Do you realize that? To tithe is not to reach the ceiling, but to stand on the floor Does that make sense to you? Biblically speaking, to tithe is not to give anything. That's like something you owe, a debt. To tithe is just to stand on the ground floor. A giver is one who goes above the bottom. And as I said, tithing is not from the top, but the bottom. It's the beginning place. And Cindy and I make it a practice every year to find special things we want to support that go above the tithe. And we've given money to the work in Argentina. We're getting ready to have a Billy Graham Associate Crusade here next year, and the committees are already working and they need support, and we're giving specially to that. We give to Lay Renewal. We give to other things, but our tithe belongs here. That's just the floor of giving. And then when we give, it's above that. A third reason that Sydney and I tithe is very important to us, because it's a way to express gratitude for God's abundance. A way to express gratitude for God's abundance. Now, the Bible teaches that if you give, you will receive. The Bible says if you bring your tithes to the storehouse, God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. But I tell you the truth, that's no reason to give. Getting blessed is a side benefit. Getting blessed is not the goal of giving. It's a side benefit. And for Sydney and me, giving is expressing gratitude to God for all He's given us. Now, how grateful are you this morning? If you sat down, if you went down into the inner city and compared yourself to those who live there in public housing, some on public support, how well are you doing comparatively? If you went to Latin America and compared yourself and what you have to people in South America, how well are you doing? I remember when I went to India and saw people, I'd read about it, but I'd never seen it, people actually living as families on the sidewalk. And they had babies there, and those babies would grow up and live and die and never go more than two blocks from where they were born. And when you compare yourself to that, how well are you doing? Are you grateful? Do you appreciate it? Or do you just take it for granted and compare yourself to those who are doing even better and who have even more? It's how grateful are we? Sydney and I feel we're so blessed. And we tithe because we're just grateful for all God's done for us. I saw a cartoon the other day. The lady is answering the door to a person who might well be one of those callers from the church who called on some of you. And she's answering him. And she says, "The BMW's fuel injection is clogged. The Dow Jones has slipped 3 days in a row. And his VCR is broken. I'm afraid it's a bad time to ask for donations to those less fortunate. Right now, he doesn't believe anybody is less fortunate." Well, that's really a commentary on your life and mine. We have so much. Are we grateful? You see, we can complain that rose bushes have thorns, or we can rejoice that thorn bushes have roses. I suppose it's a matter of perspective. So giving in our house is an act of gratitude. The widow committed all she had to the Lord. Jesus said she had given more than anyone else. And that's the widow syndrome. Will you be a steward of all that God has given to you? And especially, will you start at the beginning by committing your money? You see, I'm not sure that there really can be any great commitment that doesn't start there.